Welcome, everybody. Does everyone get a packet, a handout?
No.
And I also want to echo something that Casey said, which is that I'm the facilitator of a conversation among a room full of experts. And I am especially conscious of that with this subject of women's capacity to bless, because many of you are scholars. I am not a scholar. And as I mentioned yesterday, I don't identify as Christian, though that my schooling was as a Catholic. I have 12 years of Catholic school, and there was a long period of my life where I attended Mass 6 days a week. So I am rooted in that, but my spiritual practice now is poetry, reading poetry, writing poetry. And what I know is that many poets are interested in this idea of blessing, of invocation, poetry as a form of prayer. So what I brought to Holden this weekend is these two sessions, the first of which will be organized around this packet and will really be about putting women's voices into the air. I'm going to read the poem once, and then I'm going to ask someone else to read it aloud a second time. And then after we've heard it a second time, we'll take a brief amount of time, and I'll ask you just, from wherever you're sitting, to call out the word or phrase or line or sentence that's really speaking to you. And then after we've had a little chorus of that, then I'll ask a couple of open-ended questions, none of which is a quiz. None of which is to ask you to explicate the theme or discuss the poetic tools or terminology related to the poem. And I say all of this in a kind of joking voice because I know that as soon as you say you're going to talk about poetry, there's a certain segment of any room, unless it's a room full of poets, there's some part of the room that will go, right? Because unfortunately, way too many of us were taught that poetry required expertise or that it was some sort of riddle to be unlocked. That's not my approach to poetry at all. Poetry is first and foremost an experience of language. And so you are entirely sufficient, you are more than sufficient for the hearing and experiencing of poetry. And the other thing I would ask is, if you have the journal you were given with you, or just some paper, you can even jot them down on the handout, if there are particular words in any of the poems you hear today, or any of the conversation of the poem, words that just seem to have a little bit of texture or resonance for you, just jot them down. Mm-hmm. And we'll carry those, if you're going to come to a session tomorrow, we'll just carry those words into the session tomorrow. And they'll be part of what we work with. Also, I just want to say again that if you're talking with others who made other choices about today but think they want to come tomorrow and are thinking, oh, well, can I come tomorrow if I didn't go on Saturday? The answer is yes, emphatically yes. And yes. I think that's what I wanted to say. Let me check my notes here. Oh! Almost forgot the most important thing, which is to give credit to Linda Evans, who is in many ways responsible for my teaching this workshop here. So I was introduced to the work of Jan Richardson by Linda Evans, and how many of you know Jan Richardson's work? Right. So she is a fantastic poet and visual artist. Whose work I am just encountering, and I'm finding it is a lovely accompaniment to my own exploration of poetry's capacity to heal, and poetry's capacity to give voice to our spiritual yearning. And part of the reason why I focus on this is that, so I'm from Seattle, and you may or may not know that the Pacific Northwest is the most unchurched part of the United States, and I am part of that unchurched Pacific Northwest population. And what I find as I give poetry readings, as I talk with people about poetry, is that for people who, for whatever reason, do not find a home in the churches, poetry can be a profound source of solace, community, spiritual outlet. So that's what I'm bringing to this conversation, is both my roots in Catholicism, but also my deep passion for making poetry available to everyone, but maybe particularly for people who are in need of spiritual community, are in need of access to voices that are articulating the yearnings of spirit. And I am also particularly interested in women's voices articulating the feminine divine, and in women's capacity to bless not only each other, but creation and the work of repair of creation. And as I mentioned yesterday, and I'll just reiterate again today, I teach this weekend from the opposite of a stance of mastery. I teach from my own sense of need for these voices. I need your voices, I need your perspective, your wisdom. So what I'd like to do is begin, we're gonna read a cycle of three poems before we start conversation about them, just to kind of put some poems in the room. Again, I'll read each poem once and then I'll ask for a volunteer to read it the second time. And I really encourage you, if what I said I'm going to ask someone else to read it the second time, if your immediate response is, okay, there's a lot of people here, so I won't have to read, I really encourage you to find the courage to read at some point aloud. And there are some very short poems, so you could opt for one of those, right? The reason why I recommend that is that when we read a poem out loud, we attend to it differently than we just listen. So you will enter into the poem in a different way. Questions, umbrage, retorts, before we Okay. So we're going to start with a few of the poems on the very first page. The first is by a wonderful poet named Alicia Seskind Ostreicher. And her poem is titled, "The Blessing of the Old Woman, the Tulip, and the Dog." "To be blessed," said the old woman, "is to live and work so hard God's love washes right through you like milk through a cow." "To be blessed," said the dark red tulip, "is to knock their eyes out with the slug of lust implied by your upended skirt." "To be blessed," said the dog, "is to have a pinch of God inside you and all the other dogs smell it." Will someone else read that one?
I'll read it. "The Blessing of the Old Woman, the Tulip, and the Dog." "To be blessed," said the old woman, "is to live and work so hard God's love washes right through you like milk through a cow. To be blessed," said the dark red tulip, "is to knock their eyes out with the slug of lust implied by your upended skirt." "To be blessed," said the dog, "is to have a pinch of God inside you, and all the other dogs can smell it."
Thank you. Feel free to call out if there's any word or phrase or line that is really grabbing you right now. So feel free to just call it out into the room.
"The slug of lust." Mm-hmm. Sounds kind of like the slug in the garden.
Blessed.
What did you say?
Blessed.
Blessed, yeah.
A pinch.
Upended skirt.
Washes.
milk through a crack cow.
Knock their eyes out.
God's
smell
love.
It.
God's love.
All the other dogs. Let's read this short verse from Sappho, 7th century BCE poet. It's translated by Diane Rare. Evening star who gathers everything shining dawn scattered, you bring the sheep and the goats, you bring the child back to its mother. Will someone read that one for us?
Evening star who gathers everything shining dawn has scattered, you bring the sheep and the goats, you bring the child back to its mother.
Words or phrases, lines that resonate?
You bring.
Bring
sheep
back.
And goats.
Yeah.
Scatter.
Gathers.
Just the metaphor of the evening star gathering everything the shining dawn scattered. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm.
And one more short one from the Japanese poet Izumi Shikibu, 10th century poet. This is translated by Jane Hirschfield and Mariko Aratani. Although I try to hold the single thought of Buddha's teaching in my heart, I cannot help but hear the many crickets' voices calling as well. Mm-hmm. Someone read it.
Although I try to hold the single thought of Buddha's teaching in my heart, I cannot help but hear the many crickets' voices calling as well.
Phrases, words, lines.
Voices calling.
Buddha's teaching.
Crickets' voices.
Mm-hmm. Try.
Single
and
a
single. Calling.
In my heart.
So now that we've got a few different poems out in the room, my question for you is, do you find yourself resonating with, responding to, connecting to these poems in some way? Something speaking to you this morning in these poems, in one or other of these poems?
So the one, the top right, evening star who gathers everything. Mm-hmm. Beautiful mess, everything. Mm-hmm. Good, bad, ugly, everything. Mm-hmm.
The same one for me, that evening star, just the simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few words say says so much.
Mm. Sheep, well, in the same poem again, sheep and goats are often considered not opposites, but
to be kept
different
separate.
Directions.
Yeah.
And then the child back to its mother is where it belongs. Mm. So bringing both opposites and those who fit naturally.
Mm.
Again, building on that first two lines of that singing, evening star who gathers everything, shining down scattered. I think about the movement of the church coming together in worship around the light of Christ, being drawn into this light, being filled with light, and sent out to the world to share that light, to scatter that light.
In the Ostreicher poem, I just love the way, like, I feel like I could write my own verse next, you know, mm-hmm. because just gives you permission for understanding the many ways that we can understand blessing.
I love in the third poem, the permission to let your mind wander almost, and that those thoughts can be very informative and holy.
Yeah, I think the third poem reminds me of when you're in yoga and you're supposed to empty your mind. So it really resonated with me because it's not until the very end of yoga sometimes, and then I'm sometimes falling asleep. So it's quieting sometimes those voices of, okay, I got to do this and that, and you know, take care of the kids, and it's our beautifulness.
I wondered about in that poem too if maybe the trying to hold the single thought makes it possible to hear the crickets' voices. You know, like they're not necessarily opposite things. Yeah.
Right. I liked the rhythm of the evening star one. It's a daily rhythm of the evening star gathering and the shining dawn scattering. That's our lives too, kind of scattering and gathering.
I love that a poem that was written 2,700, is that right? 2,007, my math? Yes. 2,700 years ago is speaking to us. Mm-hmm. You know, this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would that have been in Greek?
It would have been in Greek. And, you know, they're mostly fragments of her work that exists now. You feel connected across a very long arc of time.
I liked in the first poem that it's talking about different ways of being blessed, but all three images is something that is held inside of whatever it is, whether it's the cow's milk or the woman's milk or the lust or the pinch of God. It's all within whatever it is that the poet is talking about.
And that it's particular to the individual. This is what blessing is for me.
Yeah.
You notice how sensual each of these is? These are embodied blessings. These are blessings from the body.
When you look at the phrase in the first poem that says you're up-ended skirt, that's kind of what my life feels like a lot. Going in different directions and not knowing which direction to go. It's just, you know, so the more I ponder that phrase, it's kind of like it's up in there. And it doesn't, I'm free. I want things to be orderly sometimes, and it just, life isn't orderly.
Yeah.
I can't follow an agenda on a daily basis.
I like how the first one is just the common, common things, and I was so touched by how this person has such a observation of what's right around her. A woman, a tulip, a dog, and then somebody said something about the next thing. It seems like, well, there's a next thing, because there's always these common things around us from which blessing can come.
Well, you've already hit upon the structure of this, which is my hope very much, is that these will inspire you to write your own blessing. That, you know, that's why I'm encouraging you to jot down words that really strike you. One of the ways I get over my own sense of anxiety about the blank page is to carry something onto the page with me. Mm-hmm. I will sometimes borrow vocabulary from another poet. I will sometimes borrow structure from another poet. It makes me feel less alone on the page, and it's very often the way I begin. Anybody have anything else they want to add to this conversation before we read it?
The first poem, you know, after I reflected on it, it felt like, but as women, we can maybe connect with all those parts, you know, the old woman, the deep red, the dark red tulip, and the dog, is that, you know, even though those are great personifications, it's something that we can embody. You know, we can, you know, sexuality is not something that our culture really embraces. You know, you can be sexy, but you can't, you know what I mean. It's just women aren't allowed to
talk about their own needs, but they can be sexual objects. Guys, you know, and so, but to feel that you're washed through by God's love and to still be a sexual being and still have, you hope that people see a little bit of God in you, you know, when you're, you know, serving others or saying kind words, you know. I want them to think, yeah, I love God and I want that to shine through Jesus. And what I love about that poem is that it's as natural as milk going through a cow. That it doesn't have to be so much work and effort and, you know, kind of, that it's just this natural process that was already created. And, yeah. And the pinch of God in the dog is just, I'm going to think about that every time I see a dog.
Well, and let's go there, right? Where do dogs smell for it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just the accessibility of the language and the images.
I intentionally made a packet bigger than we can get through in the time we have, so my skipping over something is not a judgment of it, it's just me trying to manage the time. So, and also hoping you will come back to this packet in your own time. I want to read this next song, Praise Song for the Day by the poet Elizabeth Alexander. I came back to this poem. This poem was actually written for the first inauguration of Barack Obama as our president. And this poem feels fresh to me in the post-Obama presidency time. And it feels like a different kind of blessing in the world we find ourselves in right now. So I wanted to bring it in. I also want to introduce this idea that, which I think you all already know, and I'm just going to say it, that there are so many different forms of blessing, and the packet is also trying to embody many kinds of blessing, including the praise song. So this is called Praise Song for the Day by Elizabeth Alexander. Each day we go about our business, walking past each other, catching each other's eyes or not, about to speak or speaking. All about us is noise. All about us is noise and bramble, thorn and din, each one of our ancestors on our tongues. Someone is stitching up a hem, darning a hole in a uniform, patching a tire, repairing the things in need of repair. Someone is trying to make music somewhere with a pair of wooden spoons on an oil drum, with cello, boombox, harmonica, voice. A woman and her son wait for the bus. A farmer considers the changing sky. A teacher says, take out your pencils, begin. We encounter each other in words, words spiny or smooth, whispered or declaimed, words to consider, reconsider. We cross dirt roads and highways that mark the will of someone and then others who said, I need to see what's on the other side. I know there's something better down the road. We need to find a place where we are safe. We walk into that which we cannot see. Say it plain, that many have died for this day. Sing the names of the dead who brought us here, who laid the train tracks, raised the bridges, picked the cotton and the lettuce, built brick by brick the glittering edifices they would then keep clean and work inside of. Praise song for struggle. Praise song for the day. Praise song for every hand-lettered sign, the figuring it out at kitchen tables. Some live by love thy neighbor as thyself. Others by first do no harm, or take no more than you need. What if the mightiest word is love? Love beyond marital, filial, national. Love that casts a widening pool of light. Love with no need to preempt grievance. In today's sharp sparkle, this winter air, anything can be made, any sentence begun. On the brink, on the brim, on the cusp. Praise song for walking forward in that light. This is a delicious poem to read. Who wants to have this poem in their mouth?
Each day we go about our business, walking past each other, catching each other's eyes or not, about to speak or speaking. All about us is noise. All about us is noise and bramble, thorn and din, each one of our ancestors on our tongues. Someone is stitching up a hem, darning a hole in a uniform, patching a tire, repairing the things in need of repair. Someone is trying to make music somewhere, with a pair of wooden spoons on an oil drum, with cello, boombox, harmonica, voice. A woman and her son wait for the bus. A farmer considers the changing sky. A teacher says, "Take out your pencils, begin." We encounter each other in words, words spiny or smooth, whispered or declaimed, words to consider, reconsider. We cross dirt roads and highways that mark the will of someone and then others who said, "I need to see what's on the other side. I know there's something better down the road. We need to find a place where we are safe. We walk into that which we cannot yet see. Say it plain that many have died for this day. Sing the names of the dead who brought us here, who laid the train tracks, raised the bridges, picked the cotton and the lettuce, built brick by brick the glittering edifices they would then keep clean and work inside of. Praise song for struggle. Praise song for the day. Praise song for every hand-lettered sign, the figuring it out at kitchen tables. Some live by love thy neighbor as thyself. Others by first do no harm or take no more than you need. What if the mightiest word is love? Love beyond marital, filial, national. Love that casts a widening pool of light. Love with no need to preempt grievance. In today's sharp sparkle, this winter air, anything can be made. Any sentence begun, on the brink, on the brim, on the cusp. Praise song for walking forward in that light.
Thank you. Praise became a verb.
I love the song.
Describing the song. So what words or phrases or lines are really speaking to you? Just call them out.
What if the mightiest word is love? Mm-hmm.
Sitting at the kitchen table, figuring things out.
Cast a widening pool of lights. Begin.
Begun.
Repairing the things in need of repair.
Each one of our ancestors on our tongues.
Mm-hmm. Words to consider, reconsider.
Find a place where we are safe.
Preempt grievance?
Yeah, that was what I was going to
say. I need to see what's on the other side.
Every hand lettered sign.
Sharp sparkle.
We walk into that.
Yeah.
we encounter each other in words.
Praise song for walking forward in that light.
On the brink, on the brim, on the cusp. Then how do you find yourself connecting to this poem today? Where do you see yourself in this poem? Where do you see your aspirations, your sorrows, your yearning?
That line really struck me because I did 25 hand-lettered signs for the Women's March, and some of them went to Seattle, some of them went to Bellingham, and some a couple went to Washington, D.C.
Oh,
and that really struck me that she called that out.
Yeah. I had to giggle when I read the part about repairing the things in need of repair, because after my husband died, my daughters gave me a book that says Dare to Repair. It's got Rosie Riveter on the front. And it's probably not one of my best used books in the house, but that's what it reminded me of, because my husband would repair everything, and if I didn't do it the way it should be done, he'd say, well, you're doing it wrong. And, you know, I got a lot of projects done that way, but I thought it was very thoughtful of my girls to give me something like that, because it's a very simple book, tells you what tools you need to use for a particular project. So, so it reminds me of my daughters as well. Seems more mundane, but I've been working on the anniversary book for our congregation's 75th anniversary. And the ongoing tension on the committee that I'm on is between looking back and recalling all these great people who've done all these great things and started with nothing and now have this big church, to people who want us to not be dwelling there but to go forward. And this integrates it in a way that I wish we could in our book. I mean, I think that would be true of any milestone, not just a church anniversary.
The line, take out your pencils, begin, took me right back to the little country school I grew up in. Mm-hmm. And the second to the last section, begun, it helped me realize, well, I began, and now I have begun.
Mm-hmm. My grandpa was a farmer in Minnesota, and I love the line, farmer considers the changing sky and where we are now compared to where we were as a country that day. And there's changing sky.
I like the love with no need to preempt grievance, because I think that's a very courageous kind of love to not cut it off when something uncomfortable is coming.
I'm finding myself wanting to add to the love beyond marital kind of goes on. I just want to add many more descriptors and comments and just keep going and going. Greed and prejudice. I mean, just want to
I really encourage you to jot those things down, you know, get that down, because tomorrow that may be where your blessing begins. So if there's a poem that you want to finish, jot down, you know, and if the need to write in response to any of these is greater than the need to hear more pieces, just, you know, you can go to a corner, you can leave the room, I will not be offended.
I feel heartbroken about the difference, the different kind of cusp we're on now than we were. And I recall the first election night when Barack Obama was first elected, and we crowded into your television room, and we wept, and we celebrated. And so that's what comes up for me, not to be a buzzkill.
Well, I like that phrase too, that very last one on the left side. I know there's something better down the road. We need to find a place where we are safe. Mm-hmm. So, and it's almost like to me where I say, so we can walk into that which we cannot yet see. Because mm-hmm. I don't think you can do that unless you feel safe somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the amazing thing about this poem too is that she does not shy away from what it took for President Obama to become president. Mm-hmm. That yes. historically, mm-hmm. as white
same
people,
plane.
We don't get it.
Yeah. Many have right. died for this day. Day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Say it in so many words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we've begun, but it doesn't mean we're done.
Right. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Built brick by brick, the glittering edifices, mm-hmm. they would then keep clean mm-hmm. and work inside of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think about Michelle Obama mm-hmm. often. Acknowledging that she was living in a home
right.
that had been built by slaves.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And raising her children there.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, that the just the what if the mightiest word is love really gives me hope. And it's just mm-hmm. the reminder that there is another way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think when you think of a pool of light, that strikes me as well as the widening pool with that ripple effect. Mm-hmm. And you know, one stone into the pond, and there's many avenues by which to go in many directions. This is I'm glad you brought this to my attention. I'm glad I'm here to read this and hear it. Because it's got a lot of meaning to it.
I feel like this poem is even more relevant now.
Yeah.
And I personally am keeping it really close and bringing it into lots of different groups because I have really been thinking a lot about how if I resist out of anger and hate, I become what I am trying to resist.
Yes.
But if I can resist out of love, and out of the sense of a love, of a widening of light, then I am, that feels like I could do that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been thinking a lot about the idea that we don't know how long this cycle will be.
Mm-hmm.
That it might be a marathon,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so to think about where I source my energy for what we're in, you know, and what is it that I want to bring to it.
That's exactly why I walked in Seattle on the 21st. I didn't want to go out of hatred or against. I wanted to go for. So. And I think I was able to figure that out in my head.
And what's so beautiful about a woman like Amelia
yes.
is that she did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Until she
four
was
years.
Here.
Yeah.
That, the last sentence of walking forward in the light just makes me think that you know each day when morning comes is a new opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, a lot happens at my kitchen table.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's where life is. And my family's at the kitchen table.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea that each day, take out your pencil and begin. Each day is a new opportunity to live that day the way that you choose to and you intend it to. And it is a marathon. And that each day is this new gift. And I love that idea of walking in the light and then casting a wide pool of light. And it's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing with us.
I think for me, the light for me is Jesus Christ. You know, if I hold tight to that and look at that as the light that is guiding me, he's not going to fail me.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else have something they want to say? Maybe somebody who hasn't spoken yet has something they want to say.
You know, when I was listening to this poem, it was like I grew up on MTV and music videos, and it was like a music video to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was like in black and white, the beginning, kind of these mundane joys, and then like more color. color came in as people are repairing and getting musical instruments, and it just, it really came to life, and then it like, it bloomed, you know, it's like, here we are, and then what about, you know, what if the mightiest word is love? It was just this beautiful, you know, it's a praise song, but it just it was just a story within itself, and I could just see all these images in my mind of, I'm not much of a poetry reader, but it really just opened my mind of, wow, this is great imagery, and just connects you on so many different emotional levels, you know, sadness and pain and love and caring about your fellow humans and...
I don't mean to contradict you, but you sound like a poetry reader.
I'm not.
I don't sit around reading poetry, but
yeah, it's really great.
That words to consider, reconsider. I mean, that's what we're doing right now. We're reconsidering this word that originally was spoken in a very different context than we are today. And that's the value of reconsidering words and as people of the word, you know, that reconsidering is so important as we walk into new context, because then the word has something new and strong to share with us, and so that reconsidering is just that something we continue to do and are gifted in that action.
All right, there's so many things I want to read with you. Let's read this Jane Hirschfield poem, Spell to be Set Against Hatred. The other thing I'm interested in is the possibility of incantation, of spells, of the kind of connection to divine that has culturally been attributed to quote-unquote witches. This idea of spells. And it connects to the conversation we were having this morning about Hagar and whose story gets told, who tells the story, who is silenced, who is empowered. Because I think I connect on a really primal level to this idea of, in fact, when we did the activity yesterday around when Lacey was singing and we were doodling on the back of the psalm that we had found with our other psalm fellows, what would be the female of that? Gals?
Psalm mates.
Psalm mates. Please. I totally upended my train of thought.
As you're doodling.
Yes, thank you.
Doodling and solving.
I found myself asking a couple of questions, and I thought I had come to Holden with a specific set of things I was thinking about and questions, and totally upended it. Now I'm thinking about something else, which is, by what authority do I speak? And then what immediately followed for me from that was, by what authority do I heal? And that has another resonance for me, because I work in a hospital where the people who have the authority to heal have MDs or ARMPs or RNs. They don't have MFAs, right? So that's the question I am holding, that Holden has evoked in me from the very first time I came here, is this desire to be an instrument of healing through poetry. But it comes back to this primal connection to the idea of a spell, which I think is just another word for a blessing or a prayer. Okay, so this is by Jane Hirschfield, who is a longtime practitioner of Zen Buddhism. Spell to be set against hatred. Until each breath refuses, they, those, them. Until the dramatis personae of the book's first page says, each one is you. Mm-hmm. Until hope bows to its hopelessness, only as oneself bows to another. Until cruelty bends to its work and sees suddenly, I. Mm-hmm. Until anger and insult know themselves, burnable legs of a useless chair. Until the unsurprised, unbidden knees find themselves nonetheless bending. Until fear bows to its object as a bird's shadow bows to its bird. Until the ache of the solitude inside the hands, the ribs, the ankles. Until the sound the mouse makes inside the mouth of the cat. Until the inaudible acids bathing the coral. Until what feels no one's weighing is no longer weightless. Until what feels no one's earning is no longer taken. Until grief, pity, confusion, laughter, longing see themselves as mirrors. Until by we mean I, them, you, the muskrat, the tiger, the hunger. Until by I we mean as a dog barks, sounding and vanishing and sounding and vanishing completely. Until by until we mean I, we, you, them, the muskrat, the tiger, the hunger, the lonely barking of the dog before it is answered. Will someone read that out loud? Thank you.
A spell to be said against hatred. Until each breath refuses, they, those, them. Until the dramatis persona of the books first page says, each one is you. Until hope bows to its hopelessness, only as one of self bows to another. Until cruelty bends to its work and sees suddenly I. Until anger and insult know themselves burnable legs of a useless chair. Until the unsurprised, unbidden knees find themselves nonetheless bending. Until fear bows to its object as a bird's shadow bows to its bird. Until the ache of the solitude inside the hands, the ribs, the ankles. Until the sound the mouse makes inside the mouth of the cat. Until the inaudible acids bathing the coral. Until what feels no one's weighing is no longer weightless. Until what feels no one's earning is no longer taken. Until grief, pity, confusion, laughter, longing see themselves mirrors. Until by we mean I, them, you, the muskrat, the tiger, the hunger. Until by I, we mean as a dog barks, sounding and vanishing and sounding and vanishing completely. Until by until we mean I, we, you, them, the muskrat, the tiger, the hunger, the lonely barking of the dog before it is answered.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So calling out words, lines, phrases that resonate.
Until cruelty bends to see to its work and sees suddenly I. Mm-hmm.
Until anger and insult know themselves burnable legs of a useless chair.
Until fear bows to its object.
The ache of the solitude.
A bird's shadow bows to its bird.
inaudible acid bathing the coral.
Until.
This is an example of a litany, that repetition, until. And can you feel the kind of incantatory quality of that repetition? How do you find yourself connecting, resonating with this poem? Do you see yourself anywhere in this poem?
Well, the sound the mouse makes, we have a cat that's an avid hunter. It brings in things mice size through squirrel size.
Wow.
And it's often at night that the cat has a mouse in its mouth, and we hear that sound, and it's like, it's a... And, I mean, part of the reason we have the cat is because to keep the moles and voles and its population down. But that sound is like... piercing. The mouse is there.
The specificity of that image.
Yeah.
This is one of the things that poetry does so beautifully, I think, is it's that the immediacy of it.
The image of the inaudible acids bathing the coral. Because so much that's happening, we don't see, don't hear. Many people don't believe it exists, including people on islands that are going under. But that phrase just captures it all.
I found myself getting more anxious as I moved one along. Less anxious at the beginning, and as I look back, I think, the beginning is much softer. And it just is, I get more anxious. It's a feeling more than a word.
The hunger line, with the line of the muskrat, the tiger, and then the hunger. It's encompassing them so much.
And that leap from, you don't necessarily expect the muskrat, the tiger, the hunger. That element of surprise is a very important way that poems awaken us. That element of the unexpected. I want to read one more poem. Of course, I wanted to read 8 more poems. I hope that between now and tomorrow, as you have time, you might read a few more of these. But I want to read, because I've introduced that idea of who speaks, I want to read this poem, My Mother's Body. Also because it's by a writer named Marie Howe, who has been a huge influence on me as a writer and on this idea of writing as a form of prayer. One of the things Marie and I have in common is our deep Catholic roots, as well as both having large families. So this is from her book, The Kingdom of Ordinary Time. My Mother's Body. Bless my mother's body, the first song of her beating heart and her breathing. Her voice, which I could dimly hear, grew louder. From inside her body, I heard almost every word she said. Within that girl, I drove to the store and back, her feet pressing pedals of the blue car, her voice, first gate to the cold, sunny mornings, rain, moonlight, snowfall, dogs. Her kidneys failed. The womb where once, let me start again. Her kidneys failed. The womb where I once lived is gone. Her young, astonished body pushed me down that long corridor. And my body hurt her. I know that. 24 years old. I'm old enough to be that girl's mother, to smooth her hair, to look into her exultant, frightened eyes. Her bedsheets stained with chocolate, her heart in constant failure. It's a girl, someone must have said. She must have kissed me with her mouth. First grief, first air, and soon I was drinking her. First food, I was eating my mother. Slumped in her wheelchair, one of my brothers pushing it across the snowy lawn, her eyes fixed, her face averted. Bless this body she made. My long legs, her long arms and fingers, our voice in my throat speaking to you now.
Someone read that for us.
My mother's body. Bless my mother's body, the first song of her beating heart and her breathing, her voice, which I could dimly hear, grew louder. From inside her body, I heard almost every word she said. Within that girl, I drove to the store and back, her feet pressing pedals of the blue car, her voice, first gate to the cold, sunny mornings, rain, moonlight, snowfall, dogs. Her kidneys fail, the womb where I once lived is gone. Her young, astonished body pushed me down that long corridor, and my body hurt her, I know that, 24 years old. I'm old enough to be that girl's mother, to smooth her hair, to look into her exultant, frightened eyes, her bedsheet stained with chocolate, her heart in constant failure. It's a girl, someone must have said. She must have kissed me with her mouth, first grief, first air, and soon I was drinking her. First food, I was eating my mother, slumped in her wheelchair, one of my brothers pushing it, across the snowy lawn, her eyes fixed, her face averted. Bless this body, she made, my long legs, her long arms and fingers, our voice, in my throat, speaking to you now. Thank you.
Please call out words and phrases.
When she finished reading, I almost wanted to say amen.
Let's take just two or three more minutes before we break.
Our voice.
Astonished Bobby.
I was drinking her.
First grief.
Exultant, frightened eyes. Her heart in constant failure.
Thinking of my mother as a girl. That's something I normally do.
Within that girl, I drove to the store and back.
My body hurt.
It's a girl, both the mother and the newborn child.
This is a heavy note to end on, but I want to make sure that there is a transition time for the next session. So just in the last minute or so, is there anything anybody feels compelled to give voice into the room about this poem or about the conversation so far this morning before we close?
Very humbling, this poem.
I love the phrase, pushed me down that long corridor. Yeah, and think about how this time is a lot of ways helping pushing us down a long corridor.
And then women
human beings. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that the pushing came from generations before, and mm-hmm. we are part of that pushing. Mm-hmm.
And that her brother pushed her.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you all so much for your attentiveness and for your wisdom. Yeah. I hear these poems differently because of your comments, so thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you.